This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. Glad you could join us. As we continue to look at the NBA playoffs from last night, Denver beating Portland and the Sixers getting game two in their victory against the Toronto Raptors. I think most of the focus will be on tonight of the playoffs as the Houston Rockets will try to earn a split in Oakland in a series I really hope goes the distance. The way the seeding worked, we weren't going to get the Rockets and the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals, and I kind of hoped we would. No disrespect to the Nuggets or anything like that, but I mean, listen, this series is what this is the series we wanted to see because of what we got last year. We wanted to, you know, we're looking for somebody to sort of challenge the Warriors to take them down. We got it from the Rockets last year, took them to seven games, and we'll get to that coming up in a minute. But the ratings for the NBA are down, and I brought this up earlier talking about the LeBron factor, and I do think this is something that the NBA obviously can't control, but is going to suffer from LeBron not being in the postseason. LeBron does attract people, whether people who don't like him or whether they like him. He adds such a dynamic to the playoffs. And remember, this is a guy that went to the postseason and went to the finals every single year from 2011 on. Ever since he said he was going to take his talents to South Beach, he had been in the finals every year till this one. So there is something that gets taken away. You either like watching LeBron or you like watching to see who can take down LeBron. But that dynamic is missing from these playoffs. Golden State is a dynasty level kind of team, and I know we like to see them get taken down a bit, but they don't draw like an individual player does when we talk about that player succeeding or failing, right? It's just different. And I know people will watch Houston and Golden State because, listen, that's the best series that we have of the four. Not only is it the best series, but it's the most compelling in what it could mean. Listen, Toronto and Philadelphia, great. I think it's going to be the second best series. But I don't think most people have a ventured stake outside of the two fan bases as to which one of them advances. But I think a lot of people are invested in the Houston Golden State series because Golden State has been in the finals and they've won so many championships so far. You'd like to see them taken down a little bit and some new blood coming out of the West. And that is what we're that's why we're paying attention, either rooting or against the Warriors.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio. This next story, it doesn't anger me, but I'm kind of sad and I'm kind of disappointed. It involves the Rockets. They audited last year's Game 7 to determine that there were so many missed calls that cost the Rockets around 18 points that would have won them the game against Golden State in that Game 7. They actually had people go through the game to find missed calls, and then they sent a memo to the league. They literally sent a memo to the league on this and said, oh, no, you got to take a look at this. They said, listen, you got to, for what reason? Like, why would you do that? Are you trying to better the officials or is it just whining? Because to me, it sounds like whining. We went over the tape and there were a number of calls that were missed and we weren't really happy with the outcome of the game and we just wanted to bring it to your attention. Okay. And we do what with this? Like, what are you implying? So we had officials make some bad calls. What do you want us to do? Tell you you should have won the game? Strip the Warriors of their title? Talk to the officials about it? Like, what do you want us to do? Like, the memo says this. Referees likely change the eventual NBA champion. There can be no worse result for the NBA. I don't get this. I don't understand. It says the Rockets never actually sent the memo to Sproul, but they were communicating its message. All right, so what they were sending it to Byron Sproul, the NBA's president of league operations. Well, If it didn't get sent, then what were you doing it for? Why did you have auditors do this? This makes no sense to me. It's kind of sad. It feels like it's whining. If that actually got to, let's say it got all the way to Adam Silver's office. If I'm Adam Silver, I read it and I go, okay, blah, 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 bad officiating, blah, 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 blah. And then, thanks. Sorry you wasted your time. What are leagues supposed to do with this kind of thing? The only thing it can do is sit down and go, look, we have a program in place that betters our officials. Are there going to be missed calls in games? Yes. But we have an officiating crew and we have an officiating department and we have officials above those officials and we review this kind of stuff and we try to make it better. We do the very, very best we can. We can't catch everything. And oh, by the way, these circumstances that you're mentioning in a game that you say resulted in a loss of 18 points, how do you know that? How do you know that? How do you know you would have scored 18 points in this game? How do you know the game and the ebb and flow of the game would have just been tack on 18 points and would win? You don't know. So well, don't waste our time.
Another question I have, though, is that when they were doing this auditing process, were they biased?
Yeah, right.
Because,
exactly.
I mean, if we can assume that the refs missed calls for the Rockets. I'm just going to assume that they missed calls for the Warriors, too.
That's true.
What if the amount of fouls would have led the Warriors to an extra 20 points?
Yeah, sure. That's exactly right. I want to get to the NHL. Let's go to the NHL for a second. The NHL had a game seven between San Jose and Vegas, and there was a major penalty called. I'm not as big on hockey, so I guess it was
cross-checking, right?
Yeah, major penalty was called, and that allows a 5-minute power play in which you can score as many goals as you want during that power. You can in that power play. It's not like other power plays where if you score, the power play ends.
Yes,
like you can tally up scores, and I guess San Jose scored 4 goals during this 5-minute stretch, and the Vegas said that it was an egregious call. It was a bad call. It cost them the game. And then the NHL said, yeah, we agree with that. That's a dumb thing to do. That is a dumb thing to do. I said this at the Super Bowl. They Saints fans wanted Roger Goodell to say the game was tainted. The NFC title game was tainted. Therefore, the Super Bowl was tainted. And Goodell was never going to do that. Goodell could say that privately. He could say that to his wife. He could say that to his kids. He could say that to his priest. But he could never say that at the podium. Ever. Ever, ever, ever.
And again, I mean, it goes back to what we were talking about from that moment on. What would happen? Like, what was Saints fan hoping that would happen? Would they, to replay the NFC Championship game with the Saints just get that free pass
right
in, or do we just end up putting an asterisk next to that Super Bowl for all of time?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So that the league did to me did the right thing. We may not have liked it. We all know that it was egregious. That's fine. We all know that it was a bad call. That's fine. But the league did the right thing by not going down that rabbit hole of admitting that the game was tainted and therefore the championship was tainted. Therefore, his Super Bowl was tainted. Right? The league was never going to say, the wrong team is here. They were never going to say that. They were never going to tell the LA Rams that they were not worthy of being in the Super Bowl. They were never going to taint their game like that. The NHL needed to take a page out of that book. Again, that could have been the worst call ever. Okay, that's fine. That could have been the worst call ever. Great, that's fine. But the NHL can't come out and say, we're really sorry, that you're right, that was it. Same thing with this NBA. What did the Rockets think the NBA was going to do with this memo? Or this finding? That we had all these. What do you think they're going to go? Yeah, you know what? You're right, Houston. We the wrong champion got crowned. We're not going to do that. And the NBA shouldn't even go down that path with the Rockets. This is a waste of time. But because it's a waste of time, it looks like you're whining. Who are you trying to serve here? A fan base? Just shut up and continue on this season. Yes, you got robbed. The history of sports, you can fill volumes and volumes and volumes of information of teams who have got robbed in the postseason of various games. You think there hasn't been missed strikes in the 1912 World Series? What, are you kidding me? You can go through every game and do this, right? I mean, I'm sure the Lakers would love to audit the 1984 NBA Finals. I guarantee you they'd love that. Because even when I was a kid watching it, I remember watching going, oh boy, Kareem got totally hacked and they didn't call it.
I think you know what? Let's do that.
Right. Let's go back in time.
Let's just hire let's create a company now that'll just go back and audit all the championships.
I mean, you can go back and you can read about some of the like NBA finals, for example, with the Pistons, when the Pistons were winning, where they beat the Lakers and I think they beat Portland. And both teams were like, well, I guess you can be murdered now in the NBA when you drive the lane. Like literally, like that's what it was. But that's the way they played, and that's what their reputation was. That's totally fine.
All right,
totally fine.
What egregious call determined the outcome of a World Series?
I'm trying to think. There was the St. Louis Cardinals Kansas City Royals 85 World Series.
There we go. Let's audit
Let's audit that and let's go back in time, because that would have given the Cardinals the World Series. Instead, the Royals rallied, won Game 6, and then beat them in Game 7.
Or what about Steve Bartman?
Yeah, exactly.
Cubs go.
Maybe Moises Alou makes that catch.
Maybe and then maybe the Cubs win that World Series, and we don't have 2016.
Moises Alou certainly feels like he would have made that catch. Even to this day. But yeah, I mean, just, I don't like this because, again, as fans, we just have to take the good with the bad. We have to. It's part of the deal. That's part of what you sign up for. You sign up for this. That's just what it, that's the deal. And if you're a millennial and you don't know this, I'm sorry your parents didn't raise you right as sports fans. I'm sorry, but they should have. I mean, good Lord.
No, part of being a sports fan is that heartache.
Of course it is. It's more heartache than joy. That's the whole point of this. It's one of the things I had to teach my kids as they grew up liking sports. You know, kids cry when you don't win, right? Like, I remember my kid, he would cry. The Avalanche, he was a big Avalanche fan when he was little. And I would have to tell him the Avs lost. He'd cry. And I'd be like, listen, this is how it goes, man. I'm sorry. This is how it goes. That's why when you win championships, they're so amazingly special. That's why you buy the commemorative DVD, a Blu-ray. That's why you buy the book. That's why you buy the T-shirt. That's why you buy the pennant. That's why you buy the lithograph. That's why you buy everything you get your hands on, because you don't know if you'll ever see it again, and it's special. It's absolutely special. And you can't replace it, because you've dealt with the heartache and the pain. If you're a Cowboys fan, you know this. You had this great little dynasty, and you haven't won since 1996. This happens, right? The catch, no catch situation with Dez Bryant. I'm sure it keeps you up at night sometimes going, oh my God, we could have won. Yeah, of course, we all have those games. We all have those games. You know, to this day, I have no idea why the Steelers came out in the second half against the Packers lifeless and dead in Super Bowl 45. Right? I have no idea. It's part of the deal.
You know, but I got a quick story. This isn't the first time something's been audited. Was it 1998, the World Cup? Sorry, I'm going to go soccer on you for a second. In 1998, the World Cup final was between France and Brazil. France ended up winning that game, I believe, either 2-1 or 2-0. The Brazilian government did an inquiry after that, because Brazil was favored to win by a whole bunch. I mean, France had a bunch of nobodies, and it turned out they actually had people, but Brazil was the far superior team. But Brazil, a couple of the members of Brazil claimed that they had food poisoning.
Oh.
So the Brazilian government stepped in and did an inquiry to see if they were actually sabotaged. Now, I just want you to picture that they
now, that's kind of a crime.
They determined they couldn't find anything.
Right.
Right. It just turned out that, yes, some of the players did, maybe it was just eating French food and just didn't agree with their stomach. I don't know. Maybe there's a little bit too much cream and they're more lactose intolerant. Who knows? But this is what it sounds like to me, is just, get a government agency and then just, have them control sports.
I don't know. That's what we need. That's right. That's exactly right. Right. This is what we're going to go. This is the path we're going down.
Just have them control everything.
By the way, I am not a world class athlete by any means, but I know this. If I have a stomach ailment, I can't do anything.
Yeah.
Like anything. Forget running around a field. Forget that. I'm not going anywhere. When your stomach hurts, it's the worst. When you have an upset stomach, I can't imagine running around trying to play soccer.
I don't know if there's a correlation to this, but Brazil lost the World Cup in 98. They did win it in 2002, and they largely claimed that to the coach, saying that the entire team is abstinent.
Okay.
They must abstain for the month-long tournament.
Could have been a problem.
Maybe that's it. I don't know.
Michael on Twitter, the umpire's name was Don Denkinger. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Denkinger in 1985. That's right. He's right about that. By the way, if you go back and look at that call, that is one of the most unbelievably terrible calls ever made. I want to say, I have to look it up, but George Orta or Jorge Orta, I forget what it was. I have to look it up, but he was like out by a mile. He was called safe. And that gave the Royals new life. And they won the 85 World Series. But this is silly. Rockets, back off. You lost.
Just take
back
the L.
Off.
It's okay.
Take the L. It's okay. It's okay. Take
makes
the L.
You, that'll make you stronger.
Exactly. Exactly. This is such, oh God, this is so wonderful. Can you imagine being the person that has to sit there and watch this and write this stuff down knowing it's not going anywhere? My God, it's awful. I remember one time when
he was paid well. I mean, I would do it if I got paid well. You know,
sure, I'd do it.
If somebody came to me and said, hey, I need you to watch every minute, every second of this game, I'd be like, all right, six figures.
I was working as a temp years and years ago when I was younger. I was between radio gigs, and I was working in this like telecommunications place. And they said to me, okay, yeah, we have these files, and if you could take these like folders out, and there's an invoice on each one of these folders, and there's an invoice number, and there's a product, and there's a price, and if you could just put these in this Excel spreadsheet, and they showed me how to do it, and it was really easy, and I did it. And then when I had it all done, this is how old this was. I had it on a floppy disk, and I saved it to a floppy disk. And so I'm like, you know, I'm like this kid, and I'm so excited that I did it all, and I had it all done, and I spent like weeks and weeks and weeks on it, and I handed it to my supervisor, and she goes, yeah, okay, thank you so much. Yeah, we're all getting laid off, so we're not going to be the need of this anymore. All right, so they paid me, right? They paid me to do the work, but at the same time, I felt like the work, it was a waste of time, right? But they paid me for it. I wonder if these guys feel like, okay, listen, they paid me, but I wasted my time. Like, what are we doing with this information? Like I really thought I was helping out the company, and this was a big deal, and like, it was going to be I'm sure they probably thought the same thing. They're like, oh, look, I'm, but who knows? All right, 800-777-2907 on Twitter at Tony D Radio and at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's on SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, doing a repair that needs a special tool, O'Reilly Auto Parts makes it easy with their loaner tool program. Over 80 specialized loaner tools are available, so they're sure to have the tool in stock to help you get the job done. Purchase the needed parts and put down a deposit on the loaner tool. Return the tool to the original condition and receive a full refund. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Every day, by the way. Robert on Twitter, appears to me Nuggets coach Malone has the team engaged. Murray may not be a super raw talent, but hustles hard. I agree. This is a weird feeling for me watching the Nuggets, is because, again, this is like you're starting to see a really, really good team. Like you're starting to see kind of the team basketball that I worried about going into the postseason. But, man, it's really turning out well for them. And Malone has done a fantastic job. It's been weird for me because, as I was saying earlier, the Nuggets earned the two seed. It didn't fall into their lap. Or better yet, it wasn't like the Warriors won 70 games and everybody else was just sort of beating each other up and there was attrition. And no, the Nuggets played 82 games of solid basketball, enough to challenge Golden State for that top spot until just the last few games of the season. And I thought in the postseason where you shorten your bench a little bit, you need somebody to sort of help you carry you, you have to rely on somebody I don't think they could have relied on just one guy. They can rely on one guy. Jokic has had himself a really good postseason, but they're getting production from everywhere else. Last night they forced 18 turnovers. That's pretty good defense. They turned it into 23 points. I don't know. Again, it's not a series until the home team loses. I've always said that. We'll see what Portland does, when they get their shot in game three. We'll see what they do in game two. But right now, I mean, Denver could find themselves in the Western Conference Finals. They're playing that good. Like 51% from the floor playing that good. So, nevertheless. But we're talking about the Rockets and their audit of the last game of last year that they played Game 7 of their Western Conference Finals with Golden State. Now, what we've kind of been saying, listen, if you're Houston, you got to suck this up. You've got to be able to just get past it. But I wonder what the overall purpose of this was. Again, you're right. What were they looking for? Were they trying to get them to take away their championship from the Warriors? Probably not, without a question. They probably knew that, all right, that's not going to happen. Were they trying to make the league understand where they were coming from? That might be the case, right? Are they trying to get the league to understand how the officials are affecting the games and trying to do and have them do a better job? Yes. But I think, Ron, you made a good point. The problem with that is, where do you want the eyeballs of the league to be on, right? If let's say the Rockets are saying, look, there were 81 possible non-calls in this Game 7 from last year. We're only bringing it to your attention so that you have the officials make sure they pay attention to what's going on in this series. We're only doing it. We don't care that they won the finals. We accept the loss, but we're doing it to remind you, hey, we're in this again, and don't let this happen again. You know, we know Golden State's a really fun, popular team around the country, but you know what? 81 non-calls are really egregious. Okay, that makes sense. I mean, don't you think Sacramento, remember the 2002 Western Conference Finals? Remember when the Lakers went to the free throw line like 27 times in the fourth quarter? You don't think the Sacramento Kings would love to have an audit situation? I'm sure they let the NBA know that. That was a Game 6, I think it was, before. I'm sure they let the NBA know that. All teams do this, but it does look like you're whining a little bit. But maybe this is the only way you can make your point to the league office to pay attention to what the officials are doing. But what exactly do you want them to do? Okay, we'll watch you guys closer, but then we got to watch the Warriors closer too. And maybe, and Ron's right, maybe there was 81 possible non-calls, but if they didn't watch for the Warriors, maybe there's 78 non-calls for the Warriors. Or 90. We don't know. Because this report by Houston says 81. Now, are the Warriors going to pay people to sit in a room and go over Game 7 and go, well, that could have been a call here, could have been a call there. And by the way, do we want our games officiated like that? Think of this. That Game 7 against Golden State last year, are the Rockets saying they would have wanted 81 more whistles in that game? Now, I know this is an old argument. Believe me, I get it. It's an old argument. Do you want everything called? Or do you want some things called or important things called? We don't want the game bogged down, but we don't want a free-for-all either.
You know what we need? We need an officiating purge.
And, yeah, maybe.
And what I mean by that, like, you know the movies, The Purge, like everyone's allowed just one night to go out and do everything. There's no law. And so everyone gets the bad tendencies, those bad thoughts, and they get to and act on them. And that makes, I guess, for a better society. Right? I don't know how that's possible, but it does. It works right in the movies. So maybe we need an officiating purge. Maybe we just need one night where the refs call everything.
Yeah, just to see what it would be like.
Just to see what it'd be like.
Yeah, and everybody goes, oh my God, that's unwatchable basketball.
Yeah, I cannot believe there were 500 whistles blown.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if we really want to get down to it, because, you know, you can't have it both ways. You can't have, hey, you know, you need to call fouls. Hey, you need to... you know, let the kids play, you know, that whole thing. Just, I would love, you know, just to lay it to rest. Say, if we called every single little tiny ticky tacky foul, let's do it one game, one night. Yeah,
and then you'll see it. By the way, the Rockets, just to reiterate, did not send this memo to the league. They communicated the message in person. They did claim that
they did.
Yeah, of course they did. Because they probably realized on a piece of paper it was probably looked stupid. Yeah. They probably said, oh, let's talk about this instead.
But if we march in there with briefcases and suits.
Yeah, right.
We
exactly.
Mean business.
Bum, bum, bum. They also claimed the trip to the finals would have netted at least $20 million in additional revenue. I'm sure the NBA just said, listen, chill. Just relax. Just chill for a second. You know, just stop. We get it. You wanted the officiating to be better. Stop telling us how much money you lost because of it.
I'm telling you, officiating purge. It's a thing.
I think you might be right. You might be right. Everybody has a complaint. Everybody loves to complain. talking about officials. Yep, I say that now, and then you watch. Wait till it happens to my team. I'll scream. I'll holler like a child. All right, good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb for this Tuesday. And let's start with the good, Mr. Culver.
Oh, the good of the day was so good when I was watching it yesterday. The good is Frank Caliendo was on the Dan Patrick Show.
Oh, yeah?
And he was sharing a story. Apparently, Frank Caliendo is really, really tight, good friends with Cardinals GM Steve Keim.
Okay.
So, leading up to the draft, Frank Caliendo would call from an anonymous phone and impersonate John Gruden.
Oh, how great is that?
And try and kept talking trade for the number one overall pick. And it got to a point where Steve Keim actually had to call Mike Mayock to see if this was legitimate or not.
What if Frank Caliendo, like, what if he actually accomplished, let's say he didn't do it to his friend, let's say he just did it, like, he did it to the Jets.
Yes, I mean, how great, like, would this be?
Like, how would the league resolve that?
Because, I mean, on a phone, you can't tell the difference.
Yeah,
like, even in person, when he does Gruden's voice, he morphs his face into looking like Gruden. So what could Caliendo
get away with that didn't need direct confirmation from the Raiders to affect the draft?
Right.
Like, obviously, like, he couldn't propose a trade because in the league, like, let's say he proposed a trade to the Jets, like he played a trick on the Jets, and the Jets went to the league and said, "We accept Oakland's trade." Well, then the league goes to the Raiders and go, "They accept your trade." They go, "What trade?" Right, so that doesn't work. But is there anything that he could do to a team that would affect the draft that the team could have a grievance against? I'm trying to figure it out, and I may need more thought, but that's kind of an interesting angle. He said, "Well, John Gruden said he was going to do this, and he won." Wait a minute. He didn't? You know, that kind of thing. Caliendo's really good at that. He's really good.
I would have loved to have heard that conversation on the phone.
Yeah, no kidding.
I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall and just listen, be able to listen to both of them go off. I mean, he was doing his thing on the Dan Patrick Show, and, you know, saying, "Well, I would say things like this and that." But I would love to actually hear him fully commit to character. Maybe have something written down where he's really trying to work a trade for that number one overall pick.
Yeah, good point. That's good.
That would have been just fantastic.
Oh yeah, no doubt. All right, so now this leads us to the bad.
This leads us to the bad, but it's not a bad for you or I.
Excuse me.
It literally is a bad for the Giants. Because someone of importance has spoken out on the Giants drafting Daniel Jones.
Okay.
And that someone, George R.R. Martin.
Oh, Game of Thrones author.
Game of Thrones author.
But hold on, he's a Jets fan.
Yes, but he did have he does have opinions.
All right. So what did he say?
He said Daniel Jones from Duke at number 6. Yes, they need a young quarterback to groom as Eli's successor, but Dwayne Haskins was right there. Why not him? I don't follow college ball, but by every measurable, Haskins is way better than Jones. Jones threw 52 touchdowns in 3 years at Duke. Haskins threw 50 in 1 year at Ohio State. Within fewer interceptions, against much tougher opposition. Dave Gettleman must have seen something in Jones that no one else could see, but even if you accept that, taking him at 6 seems insane.
Look at that analysis from somebody who doesn't know anything about college football.
Right?
Yeah. Well done.
You got to give it up to George.
I think you do have to give it up to George. That's pretty sweet. That's pretty well done, George.
I mean, you know, I guess I wouldn't pick him to be an NFL fan.
No, but you know.
You know, but I mean, he speaks the truth.
He does speak the truth.
Now, you know, we said earlier, I mean, and I'll stand by it too. Hopefully this turns out to be like a Kristaps Porzingis type situation for him, where he does actually become somewhat of a star. But I just don't see it.
No, I don't either. I mean, it's so tough. It's so tough to I don't know. The Cutcliffe thing, he is really good with quarterbacks. I mean, Peyton Manning like swore by him in his career, but Cutcliffe can't, like, he can make you better, but he can't give you the raw talent.
Right.
Like, you have to bring the raw talent to the table.
And that's what we're talking about.
I don't know if he has the raw talent at, I don't know, maybe he does. I don't know. If you could get him at a cheaper time, like a cheaper area, like a better area, like six just seemed ridiculous to me. Just ridiculous.
It seemed high. And, you know, yeah, maybe there were, I guarantee you there were other teams looking quarterback. We know that there were other teams looking at quarterback.
Exactly.
But we also know that Dwayne had Kyler Murray not came out in the draft, Dwayne Haskins was more than likely could be the number one overall pick, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, no doubt.
If the Cardinals were dead set on getting a quarterback, which it seemed like they were, and we were talking early on, Haskins was going to be the number one guy. He was the number one quarterback in that draft.
I was really surprised he got to the Redskins.
Yes.
Like to me, the whole, and here was the deal. He got to the Redskins where the Redskins were. Like, I thought there was going to be a team that was going to jump Denver, because everyone was kind of thinking maybe Denver wants a quarterback. I thought there would be a team that jumped Denver to grab Haskins at the quarterback. Now, the rumor was that Elway liked Locke, but nevertheless, I thought that there was going to be a team looking for a young quarterback would have jumped up into the draft to get him. The Redskins didn't have to do anything.
That was part of the rumor.
And he came to him.
When, I think it was the Jets who were trying to trade back. And I think they were trying to talk to the Redskins because they knew the Redskins wanted a quarterback and say, hey, you know what, let's make a deal. And the Jets tried everything, and the Jets just reluctantly ended up picking probably the best player in the draft. But still, they future Hall of Famer, but they didn't want to.
Yeah.
And Dave Gettleman succeeded at one thing that's probably a cardinal sin for Giants everywhere, is that he made the Redskins look good.
He did. He absolutely did.
And I guarantee you that coupled with the Daniel Jones pick just isn't going to sit well with a Giants fan.
No, it, and I bet he thought, listen, if people are up in arms, not really up in arms, but look, when you transition out of a franchise quarterback, it's a very tough position to be in, right? I mean, you don't know what your future is going to hold, et cetera. You don't know if you're going to make the playoffs, but, the Giants aren't making the playoffs, so it doesn't matter, right? But Eli's going to be gone, and who's going to take over? You don't want to go through a revolving door of quarterbacks. But this didn't elicit that kind of, all right, the future's in okay hands. We're going to be okay. It didn't. People went nuts over this.
Yeah.
So there you go. All right, so dumb?
On to the dumb. Do you remember, I think it was last week, I was telling you about this restaurant in New York City that you can go and rent food?
Is there an update on this restaurant?
There's not an update on this restaurant, but I guess a growing trend in New York City, and maybe putting it, slotting it in the dumb is, maybe not the correct place to put it, but I wanted to bring this story out, and I do think it's kind of dumb. But one of the growing trends in New York City are sober bars.
Sober bars.
Okay,
is this where I go get a sarsaparilla?
This is where you go to get all those drinks.
A Shirley Temple?
Yes.
All right, yeah. So I go in and go, I would like a fruit beverage drink with no alcohol, please.
Pretty much. You can get, you can go and get a wide variety of waters, different types of bottled waters.
Oh, of course.
And mocktails, such as H2O La La.
Oh, Jesus.
Which is a 6 ounce Voss water, a Hoshizaki, which is square shaped ice cubes, and a hint of Nepali lemon.
This has no chance of being successful, right?
I would think not, but guess how much an A2 Ooh La La would run you?
$5, $10.
$10, it's because it's water and lemon, right?
Right.
Yeah, no.
Oh, go ahead.
15.
Oh, come on. Come on. This is so ridiculous.
How about this? Would you have a Grand Ole Opry?
Oh, please tell me what a Grand Ole Opry is.
4 ounces of cranberry juice, a delicately crushed ice cubes, reusable straw. That could be yours for $19.
Oh, please. This is so funny.
Where have we got? Why can't we just have bars, and then, you know, if you don't want to drink, you can just go to a bar and not drink?
You can go to any bar. Yeah, I've done it. You can go to any bar and pretty much get whatever you want non-alcoholic. They'll make it for you.
Right?
Like, if you want water and cranberry, you tell the bartender, I'm driving tonight. It's my, you know, it's my turn. I'll take a cranberry and water, or I'll take a cranberry with fizz. I'll take a Sprite and orange juice. I'll take whatever you want from the non-alcoholic side of what they have. I mean, and they'll be more than happy to give it to you.
Are these guys really preying on stupidity? They have to, because I could never pay 4 ounces of cranberry juice for $20.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, it's $19. You tip the bartender $1 just for making you a drink. But again, all he did was, I mean, what is delicately crushed ice?
I have no idea. I want to say millennial thing, but I don't want to pigeonhole millennials. But it seems like such a foo-foo Upper West Side kind of deal. Like, again, it goes back to the idea that, you know, rich people want to feel like they want to do a new thing with their money, right? They want to be involved in some new trend that their parents didn't do. So this is what they've come up with, right? It's something only we understand, only we get as young rich millennials, right? Kind of like the Fire Festival, thing, right?
No, it's definitely definitely a millennial thing.
Yeah,
because I mean, the owner of this place, his name's Gulliver Toth, 29-year-old.
Oh, boy.
He calls it Wool Hat Lodge.
He's going to lose all of his money. Nobody wants
probably
to go to this.
Probably not. Because this is such a New York City thing. It's such a millennial thing.
It'll be a thing.
You're walking around the village, and you hear about this new happening place where you can go and get a $20 cranberry juice. You're going to go because that's got to be freshly squeezed cranberries.
Yeah, but until the other bars realize that people want freshly squeezed cranberries, and they'll go, and we can put alcohol in it for your friends that like to drink.
For $6.
Right, exactly. That's where he's going to go under.
How about
this
one?
He's not doing anything new. He's not doing anything new that the other bars can't easily copy. Right, the other bars can say, we'll be more than happy to give you your non-alcoholic beverages and whatever the heck you want from over there. But here's the great catch. The girl that you brought that wants a wine, she can actually get it here. The girl that you want that wants a cocktail, she can get it right here. Like, the guy you're with, he wants a beer, he can get it here. Like, that's what they'll do. And then he'll be like, oh, I guess I better start serving alcohol now.
Well, you can get non-alcoholic beer.
You can get non-alcoholic stuff in a bar.
How about
this? What I don't understand.
But could you get this, Tony? This one's really, really tough. For also $19. It's called the White Mormon.
Oh, okay. Lay it on me.
What a name.
What a name.
It's
right.
2 ounces decaf coffee, 1 ounce skim milk. Optional ice cubes.
This is awesome.
I mean,
oh, this is awesome. I got to find a way to make money off millennial stupidity.
Oh, you got to.
I'm going to find something that is so easy to make that I can sell for $50 a pop. This is so good. That is a really great story. That is a really, really great story.
And this is what you were talking about all along. This is a Virgin Mary. It's 3 ounce tomato juice, splash of holy water, droplet of Tabasco sauce. How do they have holy water?
Are they stealing it from St. Patrick's Cathedral? Is that what they're doing?
That's a markup.
Smuggling
then.
It out? Yeah.
If you're dipping just a plastic bottle in that little that little server or whatever you... Gauntlet, I don't know. God, this
so
is
great.
Terrible.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Suffering from knee or back pain, call 800-608-1881. That's 800-608-1881. Learn how a comfortably, nearly invisible brace can solve your pain. 90% satisfaction rating. It's a 90% satisfaction rating. 800-608-1881. 800-608-1881. SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
That is so wild. I started thinking about what kind of restaurants could I open up that, like, would be millennial hits. Like, what about a place that just served mac and cheese or television plate food? Just like television dinners.
TV dinners?
TV dinners, yeah. Like microwave dinners.
And give it
like a... What if I served...
Give it like a 70s feel to it all when DVDs were popular. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what about a place for millennials that just serve different hot pockets?
You know what would work? And you know,
we bring it on a plate with a like a knife and fork.
It may be like a little garnish.
Yeah, a little garnish. Like here's our four cheese pizza.
You know what probably work would be a hit with millennials would be if you made that diner in Back to the Future 2.
Oh, yes.
Had a whole 80s feel to it, but not make it so futuristic looking, but really make it an 80s type bar.
Yeah, that's right. It was so amazing watching that. With they thought Max Headroom would be the best representative of the 1980s. Like it's Spuds McKenzie. I would love to go into one of those. Are you kidding? That would be great. Remember when Pepsi, remember they were subtly advertising Pepsi Free in the first one?
Yes.
Where he goes into the 50s, he's in the 50s one, and he goes, I'll have a Pepsi Free. And he goes, you have to pay for that.
You want a Pepsi, pal. You got to pay for
pay
it.
For that. You got to pay for that. It's like, I forgot Pepsi Free was a thing.
Yeah, give me
now,
a
what
tab.
Was that? Was that a low-calorie Pepsi? Was that a or was
I
that
think,
the Pepsi with no, that didn't have the color?
Sugar free.
Sugar free.
Because he just sent, because afterwards he said, just give me something without any sugar.
Oh, that's right.
Because he asked for a tab as well. And he said, I can't give you a tab unless you order something.
That's right. That's right. That was great. What a. Yeah, millennials, you guys are awesome.
But I guess the whole purpose to millennial is doing something ironic.
Yeah, right? That's probably true,
that's,
right?
That's what it is. So you'd have to think of something that's ironic.
A millennial will pay $30 for a drink if it comes with a paper straw. like you tell them it's got a paper straw, this will save a turtle. How much is the drink? I actually don't care. Here's my card. I just want to make sure I drink out of the paper straw so no turtle will die. Coming up, what did Mike Tomlin say about the Brown and Bell departure from Pittsburgh? Ooh, next.